Have they been watering down our Bibles and turning its meaning upside down on us on purpose in order to use that Bible against us? And could a mass prison camp law ever become a reality
in America? Some fear any nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. territory might trigger just that. And as KSLA News 12's Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
From my cold, dead hands.
Charlton Heston's famous declaration captures a truly American value, the overarching desire to protect our freedoms. But gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do even now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act. That forbid U.S. troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
In a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
Civil rights advocates believe the amount of public cooperation may depend largely on how long they expect a suspension of their rights might last. Jeff Farrell, KSLA News 12 reporting.
And according to Tuberville, during Hurricane Katrina, the clergy response team provided 38 chaplains a day around the clock at 8 different camps.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
And then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Clergy response teams.
Clergy response team.
And your clergy is being geared and set up to betray you.
And the pastors of America are the ones that ought to be shouting and screaming the loudest, freedom! Freedom! We ought to be telling the truth about what's going on.
Pastors are now to recite, according to these FEMA training seminars, these training brainwashing seminars, pastors are being trained to cite Romans chapter 13 as reason for public to obey government orders, relinquish their weapons, and be taken to relocation camps during a state of emergency.
Many people in the independent media have reported that an estimated 28,000 pastors were recruited by FEMA DHS as part of the clergy response team, and that their initial and primary training was to tell their flock to obey DHS version of Romans 13. Romans 13 in the King James version of the Bible begins, and it says this: "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God," Romans 13, 1. In other words, they are going to be pushing, submit to the government, not to God, so to speak. And that's not what that scripture is saying. Yes, it is saying, you know, we are to, you know, listen to people here, but not if it overpowers God's rule or God's law. Things don't supersede what God tells us to do.
Okay, so we have that video, which just kind of wraps things up from what we were talking about. But continuing on with this report, it reads, through the 501c3 regulations, DHS and FEMA have made it nearly impossible for your pastor to tell you the truth as to what is coming. As part of the clergy response team training, their initial and primary training was to tell their flock to obey the DHS version of Romans 13. After watching a number of videos and interviewing several pastors with regard to undermining of the church by FEMA and DHS, I interviewed a whistleblower who was a pioneer in the formation of the clergy response team, Pastor Walt Mansfield. Pastor Mansfield was among the first of the pastors recruited to become part of the clergy response team. The revelations he conveyed to me about the program had pastors doing a whole lot more than just preaching Romans 13. Pastor Mansfield was recruited to become a member of the clergy response team, which would operate under the control of NOVAD and DHS. Mansfield's revelations about his experiences are stunning and concerning at the same time. Excuse me. Pastor Mansfield attended several briefings and he could barely believe his ears. He learned of the government's plan to enact martial law as well as to implement forced population relocations. Mansfield emphasized that when martial law is enacted, the enforcement would be immediate. In other words, family members will be separated from each other, and part of the training that the clergy received was how to comfort the separated family members. Remember, divide and conquer. Oh, sure, we'll return, you know, your family to you as long as you do this, is basically the way it's going to happen. So, you know, the it's pretty much worst case scenario if you find yourself in that position, being taken off to a FEMA camp. Your family, you'll be split up, and they'll use your family members as leveraging against you. If you know, it's going to be horrific. Pastor Mansfield emphasized that, now I'm not saying God's not bigger than all of this, okay? That God can't protect you, that he cannot deliver you from this. But again, this is why I put this stuff out, in part, is so that we can pray about it and so that we're aware that this problem is actually on the horizon, that it does exist. Continuing, Pastor Mansfield emphasized that the FEMA DHS drills were predicated on bioterrorism, or maybe should say predicated on bioterrorism, which again, you know, whether it be Ebola or the avian flu or something that's released by a terrorist, that is probably the best way that I've ever determined to be able to lock down a country and to impose martial law and for the government to try to come out as the good guys battling the bioterrorism. So the pastors were trained to go home to homes where people refused to be relocated by the authorities, and their immediate job was to convince the reluctant to willingly go to the relocation camps. Ostensibly, this was to be done in lieu of sending in SWAT teams. You know, the safest place these people could be is in their homes. The moment you walk out the door, if there is any kind of bioterrorism event or let's say some type of pandemic, now you're exposing yourself to whatever. So there's no good reason they could ever say, okay, you're going to be... Now, granted, if there was like a flood coming to the area or something and you were down... Okay, I get that kind of as a warning. But, you know, that's not going to be the case. This is going to be just a way to you know, take people off to the camps is what this is going to be. So, ostensibly, this was done, meaning the pastors going in to try to convince the reluctant people to go to the relocation camps in lieu of sending in the SWAT teams. I asked Mansfield if the FEMA camps were real, and he stated that much of the clergy training focused around the scenario of pastors operating within the forced relocation centers. The main goal of the pastor assigned to the FEMA camp was to bring order and encourage compliance with DHS requests. So again, these are just Judas goats. They're leading the sheep to the slaughter. That's what these pastors are for, okay? To encourage compliance with Satan, I mean DHS, and of their people that they're leading. Hence the emphasis on Romans 13. The pastors were forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement. The most interesting and disturbing fact that I learned was the fact that when the pastors were told not to quote scripture, the DHS document which was prepared for the pastors, clearly stated that scripture had been used to oppress people in the past and that presenters strongly discouraged its use. Unbelievable. They're the ones, it's ironic because this is absolutely the opposite. This is they're guilty of the very thing they're accusing them of. They're using a misinterpretation of Romans 13 to oppress and put, potentially oppress all people in these 501c3 churches that are under these clergy response team pastors. They're using the very same tactic that they're accusing, you know, they're saying, oh, in the past, it's scripture's been used to oppress people. And so they strongly discouraged its use. As long as it suits them, their interpretation, they'll use that all day long, though. Please see the following excerpt of one of the DHS training manuals. And the training manual reads, this is on page 14, of Healing Scripture and Prayer in Pastoral Crisis Intervention. And it says, this is DHS manual, during a time of crisis, people do go through a crisis of faith. Sometimes a quick mention of God in Scripture may not be helpful. As we all know, the Scripture has been used to oppress and dominate, and at the same time can be used for healing and reconciliation, renewing the relationship with God and people. If the pastor senses it is appropriate to use Scripture in prayer, it must carefully be done for healing of victims and not to uphold pastoral authority. Because they don't want people to have pastoral authority at that point. They have given all authority to the government by taking on this clergy response team mantle. And they don't want the pastors to have any type of perceived authority or to convey that to their congregants. And they sure don't want them quoting scripture because they can't stand the word of God. Just like we were talking about, they won't let them open their Bibles up in the courtroom. The devils hate that. They don't want the word of God. So this is just more evidence of that. So in other words, all legitimate pastoral authority was abrogated by the pastors who participated in the roundup of American citizens. True. Also on page 14 of the same training document, pastors were admonished to avoid, quote, unhealthy God talk, end of quote. Specifically, pastors are ordered to avoid using references to God when helping people cope with the loss of a loved one. What are you supposed to use then? References to Satan? You know, I mean, what other options are there? Like things, and these are specific things in the manual. God must, you don't want to use these phrases is what they're saying. God must have needed him or her more than you, end of quote. Or never say God gives more than we can handle. We can't have any mention of God, okay, in other words. And, you know, the DHS, the IRS, FEMA, and they all obviously are Satan's emissaries, and obviously they would know what's right to say in a in this type of crisis situation. Pastor Mansfield also revealed that pastors will be issued badges under the Clergy Response Team program. I found a picture of on the internet. I did a Google search for Clergy Response Team, and I found a picture of two, I guess they were Clergy Response Team people, and they were wearing badges. And these badges are going to be like their, I don't know, their entryway into these designated FEMA areas, and they're, you know, you're going to have these badges. So any pastor not displaying the badge indicating that they have been trained under these guidelines will not be permitted into the established and designated DHS safety zones. Pastors are absolutely forbidden to publicly speak about any aspect of the program. If you were to ask your pastor, if they were a FEMA agent, FEMA trained pastor, they would not likely tell you. Well, and again, their loyalty should be toward FEMA and the IRS and the government, not toward their own congregants or parishioners. That, you know, that's the way it should be. Disturbingly, Pastor Mansfield reiterated several times that the number one job of these pastors is to calm down and encourage their compliance within the people's new surroundings, i.e. the FEMA camps. Pastor Mansfield, I mean, they probably, when they hear the blood-curdling screams in the distance, that's going to be a hard sell, you know? I mean, because, you know, people are going to hear that and it's probably going to be a hard sell. So Pastor Mansfield also stated that pastors will be utilized as informants. This violates the legal privilege of confidentiality between pastor and churchgoer that is currently recognized by law. What about the Bible? I mean, all churchgoers can no longer trust the sanctity of personal confessions and revelations made to pastors, priests, or rabbis. This one illegal act by the DHS completely undermines the Christian church in America. Many of us have been quick to point out that this bastardization of Romans 13 is designed to force compliance to government edicts who might not otherwise comply. And the related, there's some related background legislation regarding this. And on December 31st, 2011, President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA. This report is all referenced if you want to check any of the references of what we're talking about here. He signed this into law, which in addition to allocating $662 billion to the Pentagon, also contains a measure which allows U.S. citizens to be taken into custody and held indefinitely without ever being charged with a crime. Not only can any citizen deemed a threat to national security interests of the United States be held forever without receiving a trial, but the military will be the ones arresting those citizens. If there's no resistance, and obviously there is resistance, but if there is little resistance, what they perceive as little resistance, the Illuminati, Satan, whatever, that gives them the green light to further implement their draconian agendas. Okay, if they sense that, you know, people are too afraid, or that there's just not enough public outcry, and I'm not judging anyone not going down there, okay? I'm just saying, if they perceive there's not enough public outcry, if there's not enough pushback, then that gives them the green light to further implement their draconian agendas. That's how they gauge things. That's what they do when they beta test stuff out in the public. So that's, and I've said that many, many times in a lot of different areas. So NDAA section 1022 subsection C allows detention under the law of war without trial until the end of hostilities authorized by the authorization for use of military force. So you can be held forever without receiving a trial until they determine that the hostilities are over. The National Emergency Centers Act, or H.R. 645, mandates the establishment of national emergency centers to be located on military installations for the purpose of providing temporary housing, medical, and humanitarian assistance to individuals and families dislocated due to emergency or major disaster, according to the bill. The legislation also states that camps will be used to provide centralized locations to improve the coordination of preparedness, response, and recovery efforts of the government, private, and nonprofit entities, and faith-based organizations. Okay, so the camps are going to be used for, you know, all of these things, plus faith-based organizations, your 501c3 corporate religious entities of the state, of the U.S. government. The bill also provides that camps can be used to meet other appropriate needs as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. What, like slaughterhouses? Or, you know, guillotine factory? I mean, what are we talking about? What are these other appropriate needs? This is a carte blanche mandate that many fear could mean the forced detention of American citizens in the event of widespread rioting following a national emergency or total economic collapse. So the conclusion, what pastor could in good conscience participate in this heinous program? Well, I guess 100,000. That's supposedly the high-end estimate. Only a pastor who has turned their back on Jesus could ever be part of such tyranny. But I would venture to say, if you interviewed the vast majority of these 100,000, they think they're doing pretty good with God. They think they've done nothing wrong. They're obeying Romans 13, and they've thrown the Bible out, and all they care about is what the government thinks. And that means that they're of God. They're a man of God. Mm-hmm. So the pastors in America are being coerced to participate in this because, in part, when an emergency is declared, no pastor who does not have the FEMA-trained government badge will be allowed to be in the declared emergency area. Pastor Mansfield and many other pastors that I spoke with felt strongly that this was the government's way of removing Jesus from America's landscape and setting the stage for the ushering in of the New Age one-world religion. Absolutely. It's that big of a deal. Most likely, this will be the linchpin. It is mind-boggling to fathom how so many reporters and media types deny the existence of FEMA camps under these circumstances. It is also disturbing that any pastor would agree to participate in a program in which Jesus and the Bible end up on the cutting room floor. The only viable way to preserve Christianity is for all Christians to leave their churches and form Bible home study groups. Okay, that's his opinion. Okay, obviously if their church isn't 501c3, if it's not yoked up with the government, I mean, that wouldn't be the case. But, I think that hopefully there are 501c3 pastors out there that are going to get their eyes open, that try to get out of the system. And I'm going to give you some resources on how to do that here coming up shortly. This goes on by saying, since I began investigating how wide, and this is Dave Hodges, this report is from him. Since I began investigating how widespread the takeover of the church is by DHS and FEMA, I have been contemplating the potential wisdom of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who made the following quote, where he said, quote, "We should have resisted the KGB at the front door. If the KGB thought that they might not go home that night, the Russian people might have had a different fate." And as a result of what the Russian people let happen to them, Stalin killed, I think, conservatively 50 million. I mean, of his own people. He was sicker than even Hitler was, because he was just killing his own people, almost like for fun. I mean, yeah, Hitler killed a lot of his own people, true, but Stalin was doing it. He was so incredibly paranoid, and literally, from what I've read about the guy, he would almost do it just for fun. It's just kind of a neat thing to do. I mean, he was just an absolute total monster. But the people just totally went along with it like sheep to the slaughter, and 50 million get killed. So then he goes on to say, will you submit to illegitimate authority? Now, I've also got a report that you can key in, probably just you key in the word resistance. It's biblical resistance to tyranny. Okay, from a biblical standpoint, let's look at that. Okay, and let's examine that subject. Just key in resistance or tyranny in the keyword search box at contendingfortruth.com, and you can get that, where it's not just me, but a lot of other pastors going through the Bible and explaining what is the proper parameters for biblical resistance to tyranny. Okay, and I just don't have time to get into it right now. We've covered it before. Now, I posted my teachings here at this point of the subjects I have done regarding the dangers of the 501c3 corporate church in Romans 13. One of them is entitled Feds Train 501c3 Clergy to, quote, quell dissent during martial law. I give you the links to that. And then disturbing 501c3 corporate church report, 501c3 church being muzzled, and then Romans 13 and unlimited subservience to the government. Where should a Bible-believing Christian draw the line? So I give you all those teachings there if you want to avail yourself to them. And just, you pray for God can get you through any situation. He can even deliver you from that situation. And I'm not going to say act like this is all doom and gloom and every single Christian on the planet's going to get wiped out. It's not happening. Never does happen. God always preserves a remnant. But whether it's that option or whether it's God delivering you, maintain the faith, that was once delivered unto the saints, like the Bible talks about. Never, never, never. You want to endure to the end. You never ever will turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never ever ever deny him, no matter what. And so you just have to purpose that in your mind, and by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside you as a born-again Christian, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Bottom line, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me.
Even bad governments do God's work by keeping even a semblance of order in the streets. Dealing with other Christians who have conscience hang-ups with things that really aren't important, but they're hung up over it. I'm free to give up some of my freedom. You know what? The Lord God has declared you to be free. You're free from the guilt of your sin, and you've been set free from its power as well. But you know what? Sometimes Christians, just like people in the rest of America, are much more into my rights than into the responsibilities that go with those rights. The Lord has a different way of looking at it. He says you're free. He has declared you to be free, but free to serve other people. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I come to you today, my dear friends. Let's have a little civics lesson. There's all this talk about rights, but unfortunately, what is missing in this discussion is, I fear we are never going to have a twin document to go along with the Bill of Rights. God says, I have set you free, but sometimes it's appropriate for you to give up some of that freedom. So I'm free. But the Bible says I'm free to make myself a sacrifice. The early Christians were starting to get the reputation of being bad citizens. It's one thing to refuse to offer a sacrifice at a heathen altar, but the Christians were refusing to pay taxes and refusing to serve in the armed forces. They were so publicly bad-mouthing the emperor that they were being perceived as being socially dangerous, and God wanted them to have nothing to do with that kind of attitude. The way political talk comes out of your mouth, the way you talk even about a president whom you don't respect, that kind of talk should not be coming out of Christians' mouths. Because if the Christians were setting off movements and rebellions of disrespect and refusal of cooperation in their societies, the name of God would look bad. The authority that God had set up would collapse and crumble, and the law of the jungle would take over.
A new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
What's the very first word at verse 13? How many of you love to submit? My friends, you are free. You are free to respect and appreciate the authority of the government that God gives to you. Honor the king.
Using this, Hitler used this. Satan has used the word of God from the beginning. He's twisted the word of God. When God told Adam and Eve, do not eat from that tree or you will die, you will surely die. Out of all the trees in this garden, you can freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat or you shall surely die. And then you get the serpent coming in saying, God, did God really say you're going to die? Did God really say that? You're not going to die. You're not going to die. He just doesn't want you to be like him. He knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like him. You're going to be like God Almighty. Go ahead. You're not going to die. We have many accounts in the Word of God that if this scripture was to hold up in every time in a person's life, especially the apostles, ministers, disciples of the Lord, they would be in total judgment because they disobeyed this, Romans chapter 13. We're talking about the apostle Paul, Peter, John, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're talking about Moses when he disobeyed Pharaoh, and Esther when she went before the king. And all these people had laws they had to abide by. All these people challenged the system that they were living under. They challenged the governing authorities. We got to read Romans 13 in its context. We got to understand what the Lord was speaking to these people at this time, what he's still speaking to us right now. Now, listen, I'm not saying that this isn't for right now, but the moment that that governing authority tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God is the moment that we say, wait a minute. We must obey God rather than man. You wanna judge me for doing that? You go ahead and judge. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, we're coming to a showdown. We're coming to a showdown, and these people are not playing. When I say these people, I'm talking about the people who's already pledged their allegiance to the New World Order, to the Antichrist system, and they're real. It's for real, my friends. It's for real. John the Baptist, which also, by the way, went against Herod, again, another governing authority. John the Baptist, when he was told that we had the high priest coming to him and questioning him, basically saying, you need to stop. And here you have John the Baptist calling these people a brood of vipers. You're nothing but a brood of vipers. What has caused you to try to flee from the condemnation that's to come? He's calling Herod out, because Herod took his brother's wife. And you have John the Baptist condemning him, judging him as led by the Spirit of the living God. And Herod is like tripping. And then you have the wife of Herod, who's all twisted, who has a daughter who's also twisted, dancing before her stepfather, I guess you can say, or her uncle or what have you, whatever they wanted to propose it as such at that time. Supposed to be her uncle, but ended up being her stepfather after the mom married her brother-in-law. And you have the daughter, supposed to be the niece, dancing sexually in front of the king. And when he's so pleased, he says, whatever you want, I'll give it to you, up to half of my kingdom. And it was already plotted out. She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Well, how come John didn't know Romans 13? He wouldn't have been beheaded, right? How come he didn't subject himself to governing authorities when he went before the throne room of God? I mean, did God say, I told you what to do? You should have known. You need to subject yourself to governing authorities. And now look, now you're beheaded before your time. No! He was rewarded because he obeyed God rather than man. There's so much tickling of the ears going on behind the pulpits across America. Nobody wants to tell people how it is anymore. And then you come here and tune in to Open Your Eyes People, and I get a lot of people telling me, Anita, you're too much. You're being too harsh. You're being too judgmental. You're darn right. We judge. We judge with righteous judgment, like the Lord said. By their fruits you will know them, which requires judging. In the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul spoke as led by the Holy Ghost, saying, he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You better believe we judge. If we didn't judge, we'd be like one of those tickling preachers. We'd probably have a big church by now, too. You know? We'd be getting tithes and offerings. And we'd have maybe even the mayor of the city come. And we'd show our support. And we'd probably be invited on Christian television and Christian radio if we tickled ears. But we don't tickle ears here. And if we're not going to get invited anywhere, we'll build our own station. And we'll go live our own selves. But we're going to preach this word the way that God wants it preached. Praise be to God. We don't got time to be playing this final hour. We don't got time. People are going to hell right now as you're viewing this live broadcast. People are falling to the pit of hell, never to return. But I gotta make sure I gotta wash my words so that I don't offend anybody who's living a life of sin and immorality, a life that God's not called them to live, but they have decided to subject themselves to a life of debauchery. And instead of saving that soul from hell, instead of loving them and saying, you need to get saved now, and God will give you a new life if you give up your own life. If you surrender everything you have to him, he'll give you a new life. Instead of saying that, I gotta be quiet? No, I don't think so. Not me. Not here. Not ever. Not ever. Now, things are volatile in this final hour. Things are getting a little crazy. We're talking about us. And when I say us, I mean Bible-believing, born-again, spirit-filled Christians are on a list of being potential domestic terrorists. And our pastors are being trained by FEMA, which is a government-run agency that are supposed to be for the purpose of emergencies, to help create calm in the midst of chaos, help provide assistance where needed. But now they're bringing in pastors, nothing short than what Hitler did, so that when, not if, but when disaster comes in the form of a nuclear weapon, in the form of a foreign government, a foreign invasion, in the form of some kind of accident where it would require a national lockdown and immediate martial law and gun confiscation would be in order and people are going crazy, the pastors will be called on by FEMA. These pastors, dun, 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 I'm the sellout. And they'll say, don't worry, congregation, come, come, as they're shaking themselves because they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. If they'd left their faith a long time ago, they left their first love. Calm down. We must obey the governing authorities. We don't want to cause any trouble. Please, for the sake of all, peace, just calm down. Whatever the government wants, give them. If they want your weapons, give it to them. If they want to know where you hide your ammunition, just give it to them. If they want to know where you keep your bunker, go give it to them, show them your location. If they want to relocate you for the purpose of safety, go with them. I don't think so.
And, worse yet, your minister, your pastor, may well be a participant. So I ask you, have you spoken to your pastor about this? Have you talked to your priest about this? Have you addressed it with him or her? Have you spoken to your rabbi? These folks are being trained. The clergy response teams are actually receiving federal government training to, quote, quell dissent and pacify citizens to obey the government in the event of a declaration of martial law. Guys, this has been going on since May of 2006.
But today, in many cases, it's the pastors and pulpits of America that are parroting the government line. The FEMA pastors. You say, I don't know if I really think that that's real, that whole, you know, FEMA pastors. And, you know, I know personally of big mega church pastors that I've known who have said they were contacted and literally brought to the White House and sat down in a meeting with George W. Bush and given their marching orders for what to preach and what they needed to say and what they needed to do. I could tell you, I mean, I know it for a fact. You may not think that that's going on. But you know what? They're not stupid. They know that the preachers of America and the pastors of churches have the ear of millions and millions and millions of people across this land. And they have corrupted the pastors of America. They have turned them into government prostitutes of propaganda across the land. It's true. They are hirelings. And I'm going to tell you something. They literally, and I mean, I don't, I'm sure that some of them are just ignorant and maybe their heart's in the right place, but they just, that stupid television has just brainwashed them, or maybe they just don't have time to read this book because they're too busy reading some, you know, feel-good book from the Christian bookstore that's going to tell them about God instead of reading the Holy Bible and figuring out what's really going on. I mean, come on. Come on. Read the Bible. How many times? The whole book of Acts is people getting thrown in jail and breaking out of jail. I mean, that's the whole book. I mean, almost every chapter somebody's going to jail. All throughout the Old Testament, they're fighting against wickedness, and they're fighting against tyranny and oppression, and they're being enslaved because of their unrighteousness, and they're losing freedom. But today, preachers want to preach a feel-good sermon. They literally will parade the police chief and every government, mayor, governors, mayors, congressmen, good or bad, they'll parade them across the platform and say, you know, we appreciate your service. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't good people serving in those positions. But to indiscriminately praise our government, unbelievable. We ought to have pastors that are getting in the pulpit and telling people the truth.
This was exposed as a nationwide FEMA program training pastors and other religious representatives to become secret police informers who teach their congregations to, quote, obey the government in preparation for the implementation of martial law, property and firearm seizures, mass vaccination programming, and forced relocation.
They've changed all the words. Very clever to change all the words because They say things now like, instead of using the word the powers that be, they use the words government, elected leaders, governing bodies. And that's the problem. The government is counting on those people not knowing the difference from one word to the other. They know that many of these ministers simply are not actual ministers of God. They are ministers of church and faith that do not follow the Bible to the letter of the Bible. And they will read these different versions. So, the job of the clergyman at this point, under the clergy response teams, which are run by DHS, the Department of Homeland Services, or Homeland Security, they expect the clergy to get the people in line, their congregations. But they're also doing this with Jewish and Islamic temples, Buddhist temples, people that don't acknowledge Jesus or the New Testament of the King James Version of the Bible. By giving them the bogus changing of those words, simple changes to, instead of using, like I said, the powers that be, as it's used in the King James Version, they use words like government, you know, elected officials, stuff like that. They hope to have these clergymen corral their people and get them to obey whatever the government tells you. Now, here's a problem. If you are a Christian following the clergy response team's lead. First problem, they're not getting their word from the King James Version, because the King James Version doesn't read that you do everything the government tells you to do. The government wants to propagate that myth and get the clergymen to do that and to impress on their congregations that message. But think about this. Would God really expect us to follow the rules and the mandates of the United States government? This government sold God out a long time ago. And you'll ask yourself, how did they do that? Very simply. When this country was founded, it was founded on the principles inspired by God's Word, the King James Version Bible. Over time, the government has legislated God out of the government, where he can't even be mentioned anymore. Also, the government has taken it upon itself to say, hey, it's okay to murder babies before they're born. It's okay to have abortions. Do you think for 1 minute that this book says it's okay? Do you think for 1 minute that this book would also say, hey, it's okay to be homosexual, gay's okay, get married, it's okay, you're born that way, when this book right here tells you different? God hated the homosexuals and the sodomites so much, and what they did so much, that he destroyed two cities, entire cities, because they had become contaminated with the filth of homosexuality. Based on those two things alone, it is obvious to see that this government is not a government that God set up. The Bible refers to the governments that God set up. He set up the kings of the Jewish people. Okay, those were the governments that he said, you will obey their word because it is my word. You know, those are the ones he taught the people, like, you need to follow what they tell you because this is coming from me. Abortions and gay marriage and surrendering the means to protect you and your family are not in the Bible. That's what this government this corrupt government that we have now is doing. People will say, well, God, Jesus was a person of peace. Mm-hmm. But it also says in this book, he's a vengeful God. Okay? Never in this book did it say, it's okay if you worship other people. It's okay. But this country says, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead and worship Allah. Go ahead and worship Buddha. And our government says that's okay while it pushes God out of our lives, or tries to. They tell us that Allah and Buddha and those false gods, that's okay. They all say it's okay to abort, it's okay to be homosexual and marry. So obviously it's clear to anybody that believes in the real Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, that this government that we have right now is not the government God put into power.
Your priest, your pastor, your minister may have already been compromised. If they have, and you don't know that, that should start a war within your own congregation.
You know this freedom movement that's sweeping across America? And it is. In the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a movement of freedom sweeping across this nation. And let me tell you something. It's often been known as the Truth Movement. Have you heard that before? You've heard it called the Truth Movement? Because let me tell you something. The two go hand in hand. When you're listening to liars, you'll never be free. When you're being lied to, it doesn't matter whether you can vote if everything you're voting on is a lie. And everything that you've been told about the candidates is a lie. And everything you believe about what they're going to do when they get elected is all a lie. That's not freedom.
You see, if they're a 501c3 corporation, which is what most tax-exempt organizations and churches are, religious organizations, then they've already sold you out for a pittance, a Judas exemption from taxes. They've taken your money, and in order to not have to share any with the government, they've agreed to work against your best interest. They've agreed to allow their sheep to be sacrificed to the wolves so that they can keep a tax exemption. I know I'm going to get a ton of email and maybe even phone calls, and the social media will be all over this. I don't really care. If you're a minister, you're a priest, you're a rabbi, you're a deacon, you're an elder, and you've betrayed your congregation, they should know it. You should be ousted. And that's the truth. And if you don't like that, go look up in your Bible where it says, "Thou shalt not lie." Then, and only then, do you have a right to say anything to me. I'm just exposing your fraud, your treason to your own congregation. Nothing more. You want to be angry at me because you've betrayed your congregation? Then hold a sermon this following Sunday that says, we haven't done that, and here's why we want you to know it. Then get your congregation staffed up and prepared by starting to create a cooperative to buy food and clothing and ammunition and weapons and training so that they can survive the coming onslaught and the collapse of the society that's about to hit us like a ton of bricks. Your job is to keep your flock well. Your job is to keep your flock protected. If you've betrayed them, that's on you. I'm willing to bet most folks in your church and in your congregation would rather see taxes paid. You see, people in the church don't really care about whether taxes are paid or not. In fact, most of them don't even know that a church is tax exempt and what the cost of that exemption is. Most don't even know. If you are a member of a church and your senior leadership, and I mean your ministers, pastors, whatever you want to call them, your shepherds, are not telling you the truth, you need to be an activist member and start a revolt in your own church. Find it out. Know for a fact what they've agreed to, what they're being paid for, how, what, or whether that's pay by money or whether that's pay by special dispensation or whatever. Because the truth is, if they're a member of the clergy response team, they're the ones who are sitting and saying to you, we can't hold a political discussion in church because of the separation of church and state. That's a lie, and it's inexcusable. And it proves to you that your church has sold you out.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
And then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
There's the phrase you're going to hear on Sunday morning. Folks, let's just cooperate, do as the government tells us, they're in control, they're working in our best interest. We can settle the differences later. Turn over your guns, show up, give them your ID, make sure you take the mark, take the whatever stamp they're going to give you, wear the dog tags they hand you to show that you're a participating member, squeal on your neighbor, rat out the guy who won't turn in his guns, turn over all the stored food and ammunition that you have. Don't be a rabble rouser. Give unto Caesar, blah, 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 blah. Is your pastor preaching that now? I'm asking you flat out. Use your critical thinking and read between the lines. Does your pastor refuse to allow conversation and political discussion to be involved in his sermons? Is it all just hellfire and damnation, or God's going to come and save us at the very end? And at the 11th hour and 59th minute, just before it all goes boom, you're going to get drawn out of heaven? Call him a liar right to his face and ask him why he's sold out his congregation. Is that too harsh? Tough. What's really harsh is any pastor or clergy person who would lie to his own congregation at the behest of a tyrannical government seeking his or her assistance to eat his congregation alive.
Yeah, but let's talk about Romans 13, because like I said, I don't think you're going to like what I have to tell you. But hey, you know, I don't preach to tickling ears, so there you go. So let's just look at it real quick. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. All right, so you've got to obey the powers because God put them there. Now, a lot of Christians take this verse to mean the powers that be, you know, every soul be subject unto the higher powers, to be government, right? And it makes people go, well, you know, what if the government is bad? And then the standard answer is, well, sometimes God puts bad leaders in charge to judge a people. But if you take that line of reasoning further, well, what if the leaders tell us to do something that goes against God? Well, if it's that case, then we won't do it. Well, that's not what it says. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no if. There's no as long as. It's be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. These powers aren't put there except that God puts them there. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so if you resist the powers, you're resisting this ordinance of God, and you shall receive a greater damnation. So let's look into this a little bit more, because here's what I'm here to tell you. It's not the government that they're talking about. It's not your president, your congressman, your police officers, or anything else like that. For rulers, this is verse 3. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So hey, these powers aren't a terror to good works, but to evil. Well, how do you define good? Let's keep going a little bit. No, yes, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. Right there's the key. He's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Right here, Paul is referring to leaders, authorities in the church, right? Authorities that are ordained by God over the people. This is who you're supposed to listen to. This is who you're supposed to not do wrong. These are the people who are going to tell you what is good. How are they going to tell you what is good? Because they're reading from the Word of God Himself, right? That is what they preach. That is what I preach, from the Word of God. And so you are supposed to, let's go back here to King James, be subject unto the higher powers. You're supposed to listen to them, right? Now, I know y'all don't like hearing that. You're going to not like this even more. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for the wrath, but also for your conscience' sake. All right? Look at verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. You're supposed to pay your pastors. I know. People will go off on huge tangents on that too. Go ahead. This is not talking about the powers that be as far as politicians, political power, military power, things like that. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the pastors. I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. I tell people that all the time. I'm one of those pastors. Now, I'll feed you with knowledge and with understanding. You get to decide if you're going to eat or not. All right. I hope I cleared that up a little bit. Whatever this clergy response team is, it ain't me. And I don't think I preach Romans 13 the way that they would like it preached. And quite frankly, I don't think it's the way that most Christians understand it either. Listen to your pastors. Those pastors who are preaching the word correctly. There's another whole can of worms.
And he once said, "We should have resisted the KGB at the front door. If the KGB thought that they might not go home that night, the Russian people might have had a different fate." And I think that means a lot for us because, you know, if we take action now, then maybe we can do something about it. If we inform everyone that we can, maybe we can do something about it.